Okay, everyone, welcome. Good morning to Sidcup Baptist Church on what looks like being the hottest day of the year so far. On what officially was, for the moment, the hottest day of the year yesterday, I'd just like to say thank you for Teresa and everyone else who organised and ran the fun day. So thank you. I'd like to welcome Alex Newins and his wife Anna this morning. Those of you who have probably seen the message and the prayer chain and everything else, Alex is someone whom the leadership team has identified as a possible next pastor for the church, and this is his first chance to preach here and to meet the congregation. So there will be an opportunity to do that after the service with the teas and coffees served in the halls at the back. It does say in the bulletin today that they're at the back of the church, but they are in the halls at the back here today. So that's an opportunity to meet him and his wife then, and they will be meeting the leadership team afterwards and having a fuller discussion. So welcome to Alex and Hannah. I mentioned refreshments after the service. It's a very hot day. There are some jugs of water at the back with glasses. So if you're feeling hot and uncomfortable, please just... No one will judge you for getting up and walking towards the back of the church and getting a glass of water. So please feel free to do that. Another slight mistake in or a typo in the bulletin this week. There are 3 hours events. The final one, the garden party on Friday. Starting time is 12:30, not 3 o'clock, as it says in the bulletin. Next Saturday, Anne and Yvonne are abseiling. Hurrah. You may have seen one of these on your chair, or you may have picked one up. Next Saturday, down the helter-skelter-like structure in the Olympic Park, envelopes are available. It's for a good cause, or in fact two good causes. And if on the day you'd like to go along and watch, feel free. Do have a chat with Anne or Yvonne. And you may be able to go along, watch, you may be able to go for lunch first, you may be along to, maybe able to take video and post it on social media. But there'll be lots of things for us to talk about, I'm sure, next Sunday after we hear about a successful abseiling event in the Olympic Park. finally, just to mention this week, lots of these on the chairs. Gordon Raggett, I'm sure most of us know who Gordon is. He'll be here on Thursday talking at 7:30. Doors open for that at 7 o'clock. Finally, Gloria, I'm told it's your birthday today and you are 85, so congratulations.
Good morning. Good morning. It is really fantastic to be with you this morning. Me and my wife are really looking forward to enjoying your company, which we have already done through chatting with some of you today, but also we look forward to your company as we also enjoy the company of God together. We have come all the way from up north this morning. We have come from all the way from Essex. Hopefully you can understand me. And as David said, yes, please do get some water if you are flagging at any point of the service. Or indeed, if you need to go outside just to get some fresh air, then please do. That's very kind. Thank you very much. Yes, you are the key person for this morning, I think. As long as you come back at some point, I don't mind if you go out. This morning, I want us to begin by imagining the perfect day. Tomorrow is going to be the perfect day for you. If you go to school, or if you've got exams, you've had an email just sent through saying that you don't need to go in tomorrow, and you've got the whole day free. If you go to work normally, then you just had a text message on your phone saying, don't worry about tomorrow, it's going to be lovely weather, have the day off. You've got the day free. If you're retired, tomorrow's going to be like any other day, okay? Where you've got complete freedom and joy. I want you to imagine what you would do with this perfect day. There are no limitations on money or resources or space. So think about, if you could wake up anywhere in the world tomorrow, and this isn't rhetorical, by the way, if you could wake up anywhere tomorrow, where would you wake up in the world? Just call out. New Zealand, that's a good one. New York, Hawaii would be a good one. Where else? Sorry? Kuwait. Okay. I think I'd have to look that one up on a map. But okay, have you been to Kuwait before? Oh, you lived there for 4 years. Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, so you've woken up in one of your favorite places or a place that you would really like to go. The next key question is, what do you have for breakfast? What would your perfect breakfast be? Pancakes? Yeah? A full English breakfast? Sorry? Bucks, fizz, and seafood. Okay. I'm not sure about either of those. Okay. Can we just have one kind of more normal one before we move on? Otherwise, it's going to stay in my mind. Lots of fresh fruit. Okay, that sounds like my kind of perfect breakfast. Okay, so you've woken up in the place that you want to be. You've had your favorite kind of breakfast. You're about to go and do your favorite activity or something that you'd really like to do. But before you do that activity, you need to travel to that place where you're going to do that activity. So what would your favorite type of transport be? What kind of car or what kind of... A convertible car. Okay. We can be a bit more specific if you want, if we've got any Top Gear fans. Any type of... Anything missing a roof. Okay. A motorbike. Do you ride motorbikes? Okay. Okay. That's a good one. A hot air balloon? Yeah, that's a really good one. Sorry? A nice cup of tea, okay. In the hot air balloon, maybe. Okay, so you thought about where you're going to wake up. You thought about where you'd have what you'd have for your perfect breakfast. You thought about how you'd travel. What would your favorite activity be for your perfect day? What would you do? Swimming. Sorry? Nothing. I can understand that in this hot weather. Enjoying the view of wherever you are. Yeah. Okay. Being creative and doing some painting, that's a really good one as well. When we think about our perfect day, we might be thinking about all the different possibilities of what we can do. We can think about what would bring us most joy and happiness. We might be thinking about going on a really fantastic holiday or even moving to maybe a different part of the country or the world, which would make our lives more enjoyable. Often we'll be thinking about the food that will also bring us joy during the day. We might spend time on Auto Trader, looking at that perfect car that we would really like to have that would make us happy. I have to confess, I'm guilty of that one. And you might be thinking about what kind of activities that you really want to do in the near future or a bit later on. But there's one thing that I've forgotten to mention about what it takes to make a really great day. What do you think that might be? Yeah, I'm going to get there in about 2 minutes. So... You can come up here in 2 minutes and finish it off for me. It's about who we spend our company and our time with. We know that we can have all really great elements in our lives. Everything can really be going for us. We can have the nice car. We can have the good job. We can live in a nice area like I'm sure all of you do. But if we don't have the company of our friends and family, then there's something really missing. There's a joy that we are most certainly missing out on. As the nation celebrates Father's Day today, it is a good time to remember how important it is for us to be spending time with our families. Today can be a really fantastic day as we celebrate Father's Day, because some of you might have become a father in the last year or expecting to be a father in the near future. For some of you, you may have seen your children grow up, and you can look back and rejoice for all that parenthood has given you. For others of us, it can be more of an upsetting day, as some of us may have lost our fathers in the last year or have lost contact with them. At the same time, there may even be some of us here this morning who maybe have lost a son or a daughter, or are maybe not able to have children when we would have liked to. And so today can bring many different feelings that we will be praying for during the prayers of intercession later. But there's one truth that applies to all of us, and that is that we have a loving Heavenly Father who adores us and who wishes to be with us today. And we've got a great opportunity as we gather together to enjoy the company of God. James, the brother of Jesus, says in his book, chapter 4, verse 8, that if we draw close to God, then God will draw close to us. In verse 10, he goes on to say that if we humble ourselves, if we make little of ourselves this morning, then he will extol us. He will lift us up. And so as we prepare ourselves for worship this morning, I encourage each of us in our minds, but also in our hearts, to come to God afresh, to ask him to come afresh into our lives and into our thoughts as we seek his company and as he seeks ours. I'm thankful to Richard and for the rest of the band who will be leading us in our song worship this morning. And we're going to sing a couple of songs together. So if you are able, would you please stand? Thank you.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing God. You are amazing God, who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow, who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontrollable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing God. All powerful, untamable, your struck new steps of my heart, and you know me by name. You are amazing God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing God. Incomparable, untamable, those only fall to our knees and dream of you the same. You are amazing God. You are amazing God. You are amazing God. God is amazing. Our God is holy. Yeah. And let's remind ourselves of the enormity of the holiness of God as he reaches out also to us and draws us to himself to be holy with him.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come into your presence today. Father, as we reflect on what it means for you to be indescribable, of what it means for you to be uncontainable, and yet you have revealed yourself through our word, through Christ, and through his Spirit, so that we may know you, so that we may enjoy you. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the thanks that you have revealed yourself in so many creative ways in which we can understand, in ways in which we can appreciate you and grow to know you more and more each day. Father, although you have revealed yourself graciously and mercifully to us, we have to acknowledge that we have not responded to your truth, we have not responded to your revelation in the way in which we perhaps should have. Father, although you have shown yourself to be Lord of all, so often we make ourselves Lord of our own lives. As we think back on the past week, we have all had times when we have put our own priorities, where we have put our own wishes, where we have put our own wisdom above yours. Father, we ask afresh for your forgiveness today. Amen. We pray that we would know something new and something of a fresh start of you. We thank you that you are the God not only of second chances, but 49 chances and beyond. That your faithfulness to us never runs out, no matter how faithless we can be to you. We thank you that we can have that fresh start this morning as we join together, as we recommit ourselves to you. Father, I pray especially for those of us this morning who may be doubting our relationship with you, for those of us who have maybe never prayed to you or have been far from you for a long time. We pray that through the songs and through the word and through communion that we take later on, that it would be a wonderful opportunity for us to connect with you again as you promise to connect with us. So be with us in a wonderful and in a new and, Lord, in a very surprising way today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing another song now, Everyone Needs Compassion. And during this song, we are going to be taking up our tithes and offerings for this morning. And then after the song, we will pray over those offerings and we'll also pray for the children as they leave for their own groups. Thank you.
Everyone.
Father, as we have collected our tithes and offerings this morning, we give you thanks that you are so generous to us, that you pour out your love and your kindness and every provision that we need for each day. We thank you that you ask us to be part of building your kingdom, and that means giving something of ourselves, giving something of our finances, giving something of our time, and our thoughts, and our prayers. We pray that you would take all of these things this morning, and that you would please bless them and use them to spread your gospel around Sidcup, around London, around this nation, and indeed across the world. And Father, as the children leave for their own groups in a moment, we do thank you for them. We thank you for the joy that they bring this church family. We pray that as they learn about creation this morning, that they would know that they are fearfully and they are wonderfully made. And they have a Heavenly Father who loves them, who cherishes them, and who wants to bless them in their lives. Please bless them. Please bless those who lead them as well. Would they know your grace and your strength and learn something new of you? We pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We're now going to come to the time of prayers of intercession, which is an opportunity for us to be praying for one another and to be praying for our country and also to be praying for our world. Before we pray, we're just going to take a few moments to be quiet. So often our hopes and our intentions for prayer are very good, and yet so often they can get squeezed out. And so it's good to take just a short time to be quiet and to give ourselves to God and any particular prayer request that we have for him. And then I will lead us in our prayers. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our families today. We appreciate that as the years go by, our family dynamics change, and our roles and our responsibilities within our families also develop. Father, today is a day of great joy for many, as some of us will have become fathers during the first year, or are still getting used to being a father, which can continue for a lifetime. But we give you thanks for all of the joy that is in our families and in all the families that we know this morning, that they get to celebrate fatherhood, that they get to celebrate family and all that that brings. Father, we pray this morning for those who would like to be fathers, for those who would like to be mothers, but through whatever reasoning, they are unable to do so. We pray that you would make it possible, and Lord, that you would bless them with the gift of children. Father, we also pray for those who find days like today a real struggle. Heavenly Father, I suspect that most of us here this morning miss treasured ones, miss family members who have gone to be with the Lord. Father, for those who have recently lost a family member, we pray that your grace and your comfort would be with them, and that you would give them a living hope. Father, for those of us who have maybe lost family members some years ago, and yet the feelings of grieving can still be so raw, we pray that you'd minister to us as well today. Father, it seems as if what has been happening in the news this week and in the last few weeks is on an unprecedented scale. Father, there are so many things that we need to be praying for, that we need to ask for your intervention in. And this morning, we particularly think of the residents of Kensington. But Father, it saddens us and it also angers us that such a tragedy can happen in this day and age. Father, we pray for those who are recovering in hospital. We pray that you would bless their healing and that you would bless the hospital staff who look after them. We pray for those who don't know where their loved ones are and are only fearing the worst. We pray that out of this tragedy, Lord, that we would hear some good stories of rescue and of people being found. Lord, for those who have lost family members and friends and loved ones during the fire, we pray that you would bless the fire department as they go through the rubble and go through the damage. And Lord, that those people who are worried, these people who are wondering, would know what has happened to their loved ones. We pray that in these coming weeks and months, as people need to find new homes, as they need to buy new clothes, as they need to do all sorts of practical things, Lord, that you would especially bless the churches that surround them, who have already been such a support and a help. Please would you bless these churches so that these churches may powerfully bless those in need. Father, with all the dreadful things that happen in our world, we can so quickly move on from one tragedy to the next new one. We pray that this wouldn't be the case, but that we would keep the people of Kensington and those affected by it in our hearts and in our prayers for the weeks to come. And Father, as we look further afield, we also do pray for those who have been caught up in the forest fires in Portugal as well. Lord, as they have had to deal with 40-degree weather, as they've had to deal with forest fires which have already claimed many lives, we pray that you'd bless those who have been injured, that you would bless those who continue to be in danger this morning, and that you would bless the emergency services in the area. Father, we appreciate that. No matter what we're going through, we all need your grace. Life is never just fine. Life is never just going along smoothly or swimmingly. But all of us need your grace and need your intervention. Father, we thank you for your promise that when we come to you with sincere hearts, with the mind of Christ, that we will have our prayers answered. We pray that we would not be shy in asking things from you, but that we would remember that you are a heavenly Father who wishes the very best for us, even in times that we don't really understand it. And so we commit ourselves afresh to you, and we also pray together the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Together. It wasn't that good, we don't need to have it twice. It's good for us to live life together in community. I didn't become a Christian until I was 12 years old, and I came to the Lord actually by myself. I wasn't led to the Lord by anyone. And so as I started my Christian journey by myself, so I thought I would be fine just maturing and living out my relationship with God as a single, as someone by myself, not needing the church. And therefore, from the ages of 12 to 18, when I did start going to church, I really didn't grow in my faith at all. I would struggle to pray. I would struggle to read my Bible. I really didn't learn many new things about God at all. And it was only until I went to university and I visited a Christian union where I was invited to go to church. I hadn't really been invited before. And I thought, yeah, I've gone to a new place. I'm studying something new. It's a new chapter of my life. I'm going to give this church thing a go. As soon as I started attending a church, I realized what I'd missed out on for the previous 6 years. I soon got committed and I soon got involved with the family of the church and have never looked back since. Church can be and is a very loaded term for many of us. And as we journey through life, church can mean many different things. There are times when we are part of a church and we're primarily receiving good things from a church, especially when you start attending. There are other times in life where perhaps more likely you're probably giving more to the church than you are receiving in return. Through our circumstances, our commitment and our thoughts and our approach to church can also differ. Maybe through family commitments or through the situation of our health or maybe our time and careers. Our approach and the commitment that we have to the local church family can differ. We can go through times of growing together, but we can, of course, go through times of struggle as well. We can go through times of being very enthusiastic about all that the church is doing amongst ourselves and in the local community and beyond. But then there are, of course, times when the church can be quite apathetic as well. Today, we're going to look at how the Christian life and Christian purpose can never be found in living life by ourselves, in doing our own thing, in hoping that just the whole Jesus and me thing will be enough. To grow in our faith, to have excitement in our faith, to make a difference with our faith involves being in the local body, in the local family of church. And so I'm going to invite Maz to come up and read for us. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. I believe it's going to be on the screen, but if you want to follow it along in the Bible, then you can find it on page 1218. And I would encourage you, if you are going to use the Bible, just to keep it open after the reading, after we've had the reading. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Thank you.
Very much. As we flick through our Old Testaments, we see that God promised to most prominently dwell by his Spirit in the temple. And so the purpose of Jewish men and women, the purpose, their identity, their sense of belonging was very much wrapped up in this temple made of stone. It was there that they would go to meet with the Lord. It was there that they would go to make sacrifices to God. It is there where they would go to hear the word spoken and to join in community together. It meant that those who lived far away from the temple would have a real journey to have to try and get there. Even more so, it meant that people from other countries who had encountered Yahweh would have to perhaps make a pilgrimage to make a special trip to the temple to try and meet with God. The stone temple that was built in Jerusalem was never a long-term thing. It was always a stopgap for God, as he didn't want to be limited. He didn't want to limit his presence. He didn't want to limit his blessing to a stone building in a capital city in one country in the world. In Psalm 72, it says, "Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with God's glory." Way back then, way before Jesus even came to the earth, it was God's intention that the whole earth would know his presence, would know him and his help. God had been geographically limited by dwelling in the temple. And so, during Pentecost, his presence, his spirit, left the temple and moved to another. Before, his presence had been in a temple made out of stones that was stuck there in Jerusalem. But his spirit moved into the people and into the children of God. He moved from a temple of stone to a temple of flesh, from an immovable temple to a temple that would move throughout the world, spreading his love and his grace. God could have chosen to make us living bricks, which clearly is not the case as we look at our reading this morning. In some ways, you think, why didn't God make us into living bricks? Bricks are uniform. They're all the same. They all fit together really neatly. They can be pre-made and molded, and they fit in together so well. You might have seen just a few weeks ago on the news, engineers have developed a new piece of machinery called SAM, which is semi-automated masons. So we know that masonry, to be a bricklayer, is a very skilled job, which is why they get paid so much. But they've created this technology, which means that now, although people have to be there and to kind of supervise it and to look after it, it's possible now to build brick walls and brick houses very quickly just because of the machines that they have created, because of the SAMs. Bricks are really helpful in building something quickly and efficiently. God did not choose to make us living bricks, but rather living stones. God doesn't want us to be uniform, and you can just tell by looking around us that we are not all the same. We are not a caricature of Christianity, but each of us have got our own qualities. If you look at a stone closely, I was half tempted to go to the beach yesterday and pick up 100 stones and bring them back. But then I thought, well, my closest seaside is Southend. There's not much of a beach there already, and I didn't want to take away even more. But if you look at a stone closely, if you just study it, just for a couple of minutes, you see how each one is different. You see the detail. You see how you would appreciate how old they are and how they will outlive us. you see that each one has got a different colour. Each one has got a different shape. Each one has got a different size. Through all the abrasion with other stones and from the sea, each one shows its own unique history. Just as real stones are unique and precious, so God has made us creatively and graciously into living stones. Through our personalities, through our gifts, and through our passions, God makes us into living stones so that we might be useful in building God's temple. God also wants to work in us and work through us. Although we are all unique, and although there are many aspects about ourselves that we can celebrate, we would appreciate that we are all still a work in progress. Although God loves us for who we are, he doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to change. To illustrate that, I'm going to need a volunteer. Whoa, that's brilliant. Thank you. Fantastic. What's your name? Abby. Thank you very much for helping, Abby. Okay, so I'm completely stealing this illustration from a group called the Skit Guys that you might have come across. Yeah. Okay, so God loves Abby. God loves Abby as a living stone. You have been made uniquely. You've got your own personality. You've got your own gifts. You've got your own passions. You've got things that you don't like and things that you do. You've got subjects that you like at school, subjects that you probably don't. You've got your own experience. You've got your own family. You've got your own role within your family. But God doesn't want you just to stay the way you are. Although he loves you, he wants you to be a better Abby. And that seems fair enough, doesn't it? Because your parents and your school teachers and your friends would want the same thing. Yeah? Okay. And so what God does in Abby is that through the years, through circumstances, through experiences, he changes Abby. It's like he gets out a hammer and a chisel. Because you are a living stone. But there are certain bits of you that you don't particularly want to have in yourself. And God doesn't want them either. And so it's like God gets a hammer and a chisel. And he starts chipping away on certain parts of you to take those things away. Maybe there are certain things that you don't like that perhaps you should. Perhaps there are things that you're not passionate about that you should be. Maybe there are certain habits that you do that aren't particularly helpful to you or to other people. I'm not seeing any nodding, so that's good. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Okay, at least you didn't say hallelujah. Right. And he chips away at these things. And you can imagine that can be sometimes painful. Sometimes he has to work through bad circumstances and bad situations in our lives. But he's chipping away. It's a painful thing, but he's chipping away the things that he doesn't want of you anymore. Things that aren't going to be helpful to you in your life. At the same time, there are certain qualities that you have. There are certain parts of your personality, certain parts of your gifts and of your talents that he wants to make more of. That he wants to make even more evident to yourself and also to those around you. And so he chips away again at little bits to make certain parts of your shape and of your character even more prominent. Sometimes, like I say, it can be a painful thing. But what an amazing thing that God loves you so much that he wants to do a great work in you and he wants you to be the best Abby that you can be. Does that sound good? Fantastic. Let's give Abby a round of applause. Thank you. So God's chisel is at work in all of our lives as living stones. He is working in all of us, in taking away some of the bad things about us and accentuating and promoting some of the good. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." God not only wants Abby to be a better Abby of herself, but to also to reflect more and more of Christ Jesus himself. Now, because we are stones, because when we fit together, it's not always the perfect fit. Because when we are living stones, God is chiseling away at us. It means that there's bound to be a whole lot of mess. There's going to be a lot of dust. There's going to be a lot of bits of stone on the floor. It's going to be a bit of a building site. As I go into pastoral ministry, I can have great thoughts about what the church I'm going to go to is going to be like and how everything is just going to go fantastic. Everything is going to grow. Everything is going to go well. Everyone's going to love me all the time. I need to remember that church is messy and that I shouldn't give up on church or I shouldn't get disillusioned with church, and neither should you. But we should stay committed to the church as God continues to build it. Yes, we are a building site, but we are a building, God's house, which is growing. Even if you look at the book of Acts, the book of Acts was no picnic, was it? There were disagreements, there were fallings out, there were disappointments. The book of Acts didn't go according to the plan of Peter, of Paul, of John, and of others. It was a bit messy then, and it's messy now, but just look at what God has done over the last 2,000 years in building his church, in all of the millions and indeed billions of living stones that he has used to bring us to this point today, where the church has never been so influential in the world, where the church has never been so big as it is today. We have a hope because of what God has done in building us up as spiritual stones. But we also have a hope from our passage this morning because Jesus is revealed as the cornerstone. When we look at the temple being built in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, there is a description in chapter 17 about the cornerstone that was used for that stone temple. A stone was used which was particularly precious, that was particularly hard-wearing, that was particularly useful and particularly expensive, might I add, which propped up and that kept the original temple strong. That temple no longer exists, but as we are today's temple, we are a temple of flesh. We are a temple of living stones rather than just stones. Jesus has promised to be our cornerstone. Today in building, we don't really have cornerstones, but there are certain qualities of cornerstones that can encourage us as we seek to build on the foundation of Christ. The first thing about a cornerstone is that it will be the first laid stone in a building. Before anything else begins, the builders will place down the cornerstone. In the same way, Jesus is our cornerstone because he went before us. In our passage, Jesus himself is described as a living stone. He is the first living stone that goes before us. We have scripture after scripture which speaks about Jesus going before us. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, Jesus is described as the archigos, is the Greek term. But we would translate that as Jesus is the pioneer. Jesus is the perfect leader. Jesus is the one who went before us and showed an example of how we should live. What an encouragement to us that we know that this kingdom that Jesus is building, it began with him, and he is our foundation. The second thing about a cornerstone is that it sets the direction of the building. Because it is the first laid one, you need to make sure that it's facing in the correct direction. If you've got it at an angle, then the whole building that is built up subsequently is going to be built at the wrong angle. Jesus is the one who shows us the way. Jesus is the one who points us in the right direction. Before we knew Christ, we were going our own way. We were living our own lives. We were just trying to live and do the best that we can in our own wisdom. When Christ came into our lives, through his Spirit in us and through the Spirit in others as they speak to us, we have been able to turn. We have been able to repent so that we are facing the right direction, so that we might be built up in the kingdom of God. The third thing is that Christ being the cornerstone reminds us that a cornerstone is a load bearer of the house. Back in the day, they didn't really have foundations for buildings. And so the cornerstone would have to be a really big stone that could take the weight of the rest of the building. In the same way, Christ is the cornerstone of our living temple, of our spiritual house today, because he takes the weight of us. On the cross, he has taken the weight of our sin so that we are no longer burdened. We no longer have to carry. We no longer have to take our sin and our shame and our guilt with us. But we leave it with the cornerstone and we have the burden lifted. Jesus not only has taken the burden of our sin away, but he has given us a living hope. He is the load bearer. He is the one upon which we stand for our hope in this life and in the life to come. And the fourth and the final thing is that a cornerstone connects two walls together. Without a cornerstone, you'd have walls that just wouldn't be joined up. You wouldn't have a building. You'd have something that would be incredibly drafty, shall we say. It connects two walls together. In the same way, Christ has connected two things for us upon which we stand today. In Ephesians 2, Paul writes, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple of the Lord." One wall of our temple is the prophets of the Old Testament. Another wall is the apostles in the New Testament. We stand on the revelation that they have been given, and we stand on their brave and courageous acts today. Jesus brings the revelation of the prophets, he brings the revelation of the apostles. And together with him, we can stand strong, knowing that this, and if you're listening to on the, on the internet, I'm picking up the Bible. This is what we stand on, the word, the logos, the word and revelation of Christ himself. Our reading began with the words, "Come to him." For us to be living stones this morning, for us to be a part of something which is being built, this spiritual house, this temple which is transforming the people in it and also the people outside of it. To be part of it, to join it, all we need to do is come to him. Come to Jesus in faith. If you don't know him this morning, and you might be thinking, yeah, you know what, I've enjoyed this service today. There's something that I'm connecting with. I encourage you to look further into what it means to come to Jesus. And I'm sure that there are people here who would love to speak to you after the service and to pray with you as well as you consider coming to Jesus and being part of this living temple. When we come to the living temple, as we join it, as we come to him, as we come to one another, we know that it will be messy, but through our experience, we all know that it is a place also of great encouragement and a great place of strength. The temple, the spiritual house, is growing. Just as those in the book of Acts needed patience, so we need patience today with one another and with the systems within which we work. But if we are patient and if we trust in Christ as our architect of our house, if we trust in Christ as the mason of this house, if we trust in Christ as the cornerstone of this house, then we will see Christ doing a wonderful thing in our lives and in the lives of this house. God has given us an incredible privilege and an incredible responsibility. As Christians, he doesn't ask us just to rock up on a Sunday to receive, to get what we need, and then go home and live lives by ourselves. But he has called us to live life together so that we may support and receive and give to one another. My prayer is that all of us this morning would be able to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, dwell in your temple, your spiritual house. Transform our minds, our hearts, and our acts more into those of Christ, and radiate your glory through us, so that those who see us will also see Christ." Amen. We are going to sing in response to that a wonderful song which sums up our approach to Christ, how we can come to him as our hope and as our strength and as our cornerstone. And then once we have sung that song, we will move into communion. Thank you.
Oh.
This morning we have reflected on what it means to be living stones. It's quite a peculiar term, as you think if anything is lifeless, it would indeed be a stone itself. But it is helpful to clarify what Peter means in our passage. When he talks about living, when he talks about life, he is not talking about biological life. There are two terms in the Greek for life. One is bios, from which we get biology. In one sense, well, in a very real sense, we are all biologically alive. We all have our hearts beating. We're all breathing in and out. We're all sweating a bit this morning. We have bios life. But much of the New Testament speaks about another type of life, which is called Zoe, a great name for a girl. Zoe means a spiritual life. Zoe is not something that you're born with, like with biological life. Zoe is not something that you can gain over time after going to church once a week, or by being religious in any respect. But it is a life that is a gift to us when we, verse 4, come to him, when we come to Jesus and make him not only a foundation of our lives, but a precious foundation of our lives. When Jesus died on the cross, our sins died with him. When Jesus rose victoriously from the grave, his new life was shared with us. It is therefore good and it is important for us to give him thanks this morning and to remember all that Christ has done as we share in this feast together. In the chapter before, the one that we looked at this morning, Peter wrote, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, that we have been given new life, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation." Now we live with great expectation. Expectation. That is what we are doing in our response in worship today. On the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with 12 of his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul reminds us what happened that night. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement, the new contract between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me, so long as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he returns again," which is surely our greatest expectation of all. Richard is kindly going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you.
Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for who you are, for the way that you have created us and all that we see, for your grace which liberates us from the power of sin, and the mercy which gives us forgiveness and a fresh start, for your call to us to share in your salvation plan. We thank you for Jesus, who has shown us your love and compassion and shown us how to share these qualities with others. We thank you for his life and ministry, his lifting up of the lowly and the healing of the sick, for his redeeming death on the cross for all humanity, for which this bread and this wine are the symbol and sign. We thank you for raising him back to life so that we might have hope in him. We thank you for the gift of his Spirit, who we experience both personally and as a church family. Please fill us with your Spirit so that we might be empowered to serve your kingdom. We look back to the First Supper with thanksgiving, and we look forward with expectation to your return, which fills us with hope. Dear Lord, hear our prayer of thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and the life of your people. Amen.
Thank you, Lee. I'm sorry to you both. We will eat the bread as we receive it, but when we receive the wine, we will wait and drink together. And so on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this to remember me." This bread is Christ's brokenness for you. Receive it with much thanksgiving. In the same way, the Lord Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement sealed with my blood. Drink this to remember me." This wine is Christ's life poured out for you. Receive it with thanksgiving. Loving God, you have fed us generously at this table as we have remembered Jesus and rejoice that his Spirit dwells with us today. We are now ready to worship him and serve your people in your world. May your Holy Spirit show us the way, develop us individually, but also build us up together to be your spiritual house, to be your temple on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We're going to finish this morning by singing together, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart." Maybe this is a wonderful opportunity as we sing this song, either for the first time or maybe for the nth time, to show our hearts to God and to say to him that he is ours. Yeah. Please remain standing for a moment. Thank you so much for coming along this morning when I've been leading. It really has been a real joy to enjoy your company as we have enjoyed one another's company and, of course, the company of God. Thank you so much also to all those who have taken part in the service today, all that goes on kind of behind the scenes. And if you'd like prayer for anything this morning, I pray and I hope that you will come and see one of us afterwards. I think there's a prayer team here, and of course I would love to be able to pray for you as well, for whatever you would like intercession for. But we finish with a blessing that comes from our passage. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that we may declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. May we live up to and live out this calling for the glory of God. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain on each of you and your loved ones this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.